This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. As we're in overtime tonight, I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. I wanted to make sure we still had time before we leave the air and get back to regular programming to talk about a way the Galesburg Community Foundation and other entities have stepped up to help the community in this time of this COVID-19 outbreak. As a number of other charitable types of groups have done around the country, they have set up funds to help pay for some of the things that will be needed to respond to this in the community. The Galesburg Community Foundation has, through a number of other entities, and I want to bring Josh Gibb, the executive director of the Galesburg Community Foundation, into the conversation right now. Josh, thank you so much for your time, and I am supposed to tell you from Randy Hovind that a fellow Lion is the reason that we got to you late, so he apologizes for that, but maybe he doesn't need to apologize.
Well, as a Lion, I'll deal with Randy in the way that Lions deal with Randy.
Oh no!
I am happy to wait, because obviously the chief and others are really leading local efforts, and it's important that everything that they were talking about really gets out to the community. So, but just, and again, happy to join you right now. So,
try not to go too harsh on Randy when that time comes where the Lions Club can actually get together and meet again and take care of things like that. Just go easy on him.
Okay. You don't really know much about Lions Club, but that's okay, Will.
I know enough that I think it's mean and needs to be changed. No, I'm kidding. I know a little bit about what goes on, but I say don't give him too much heck, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay, I won't. I'll take it easy on him. He's had a lot on his shoulders the past couple of weeks.
He most certainly has, but I imagine as the head of the Galesburg Community Foundation, I imagine at least from terms of philanthropy and giving and things like that, that a lot of this has probably weighed on your mind too, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Community Foundation realizes that this is the word being used again and again is unprecedented, and we certainly feel that as well. But from our vantage point, it's very heartening to see that our community continues to is responding in the way we think that it would, by giving, and by volunteering, and by trying to figure out how to help everyone who has a need during this. What's interesting from our perspective is there's so much energy and so much effort that's really being discussed and put towards what the need is, but at the same time, the need hasn't presented itself completely yet, and it changes so quickly. So that's in part why really we strategized and came up with what we call the Rapid Response Fund.
Talk about that and how that came about. And I know that our areas like in Peoria and the Quad Cities have done things like this already as well. And this sounds like that this is an effort that's similar to some of the things we have heard about in other communities.
Well, and it is. So, again, like what neighbors are doing, and really community foundations are uniquely designed to do across the state, we wanted to create a single place where people could give together to address need that comes up in our community through crisis. And really, using what's happening right now with COVID-19, as the impetus or the catalyst for us to be able to do that. So the Community Foundation met virtually and agreed to start the fund. But then what we wanted to do is coordinate with other funders in the area, private foundations, United Ways, where nonprofits are going for resources, where we're having these conversations, and ask them to be our partner. So collectively, between the Community Foundation, the Toomey Foundation, the Vitale Family Foundation, and both Warren and Knox County United Ways came up with an initial amount of $145,000 that can be used. Now, what we want and what we want people to know is that when they're wanting to, or if they're thinking about how they can dedicate gifts or dedicate charitable resources towards helping, that this is the place for them to do that, that they can join with others, and we can have one place that's simplified forgiving and hopefully simplified for getting the resources into the hands of those that are addressing the needs in our community.
How did it work in terms of getting this money together? Was it something that you had to kind of talk with and collaborate with, for example, the Vitale Family Fund, the Toomey Foundation, the McLean Family Endowment Fund, and others to kind of say, hey, we want to use some of this money to set up this fund? Or how does that process work?
Yeah, so it really wasn't overly complicated. I mean, everyone that has contributed to it, everyone that you just mentioned, you know, it's a small area. It's a small community. We really all know each other. But, you know, we just reached out. We knew that this was something that nonprofits could benefit from and that from others in the region would benefit from as a place to give. And we just did some phone calls with each other and made sure that the concept really made sense. And that's really how people started dedicating the resources. That side of it was relatively easy. On the, you know, how those resources are going to get out, I also think we're attempting to make easy, but we're also giving ourselves enough time to see how other entities, you know, the federal government, the state government, the local government might also be mixed in addressing what the needs are right now. So I think that this becomes, you know, supplemental to things that maybe aren't necessarily being covered through aid packages and stimulus packages that have been passed. But, you know, we know that these dollars are going to need to be implemented today, mm-hmm. but we also know that 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, there's still going to be need in our community. And so we want to make sure that these dollars can be dedicated at that time as well.
How do you see this money being used then, Josh?
You know, we're still figuring some of that out.
Okay.
We know that we want to be able to address the needs within our community. Some of the things, you know, we're certainly connected with other statewide funders and what other communities are seeing and what other communities are sort of finding out as need. Food is certainly one that everyone wants to make sure that there's plenty of food and those that have the need are being fed. So that's one of the areas that we're watching. First responders, you know, healthcare workers, you know, we want to make sure that if there's things there that we're being responsive. Education is one that's also, you know, sort of ever changing. We want to make sure that you know, kids have what they need with sort of the e-platforms that are being put into place. Right now we have teachers who are reaching out and working with kids and working with classrooms, and certainly there's plenty of that going on here in the Gibb household right now, too. But we don't know what that looks like, you know, 3 weeks from now, and is there going to be need in those areas? What we have talked about is just making sure that perspective is gained, mm-hmm. And that we're knowledgeable before we just, you know, put money or put resources towards something. But we have tried to make this as flexible as possible to address whatever the need is.
Sounds like, by the way, that you've become a substitute teacher of sorts lately. Is that kind of what I'm getting there?
Well, there is no substitute for the teachers.
Amen.
What can I say? But yes, we definitely are trying to keep our kids stimulated. And as I told my son's second grade teacher, we're just trying to keep him out of summer vacation mode.
Hey, there you go. I get that. You know, and that's probably a legitimate thing for a lot of parents that I should probably talk about with other people as time allows. But I imagine as a parent, that's got to be both an opportunity and a challenge, right?
It has been for us. And I don't think that there's any perfect way. And, you know, as a parent, I think that some days are probably going to be better than other days. But, you know, we are developing good partnerships with our kids, teachers, and helping keep them stimulated as best as we can. And also kind of out of the home office. That's another really important challenge to go through. Like, how do we keep the kids out of the home office for the phone calls like this and the Zoom meetings?
Exactly. There you go. All right. In terms of the Rapid Response Fund at the Galesburg Community Foundation, while $145,000 has been, I guess, allocated or committed to at this point, people can still give and make that fund even bigger, right?
Yeah, and it started. And again, I think that that's the heartening thing about our community, like I talked about earlier. Yes, these are abnormal times that none of us have experienced, and, you know, who knows, hopefully we won't experience again, but normal things have continued to happen. People are continuing to give. People are continuing to be served by nonprofits. And so people have already started giving, and we certainly want to encourage that for those that are inclined. They can get onto our website. We've made it front and center on our website. And I think that the local United Ways and local individuals have begun to share that, so I've seen that really spread through social media. Mm-hmm. So you can find a giving page through going directly to our website. Warren County United Way has begun to promote it, as has Knox County United Way.
Great.
Again, we want to centralize that giving. You can also mail a check to the Community Foundation, just in the memo line, put the Rapid Response Fund, and we are still have processes in place to process charitable gifts.
All right, and we'll also link to that as well on WGIL.com when we post this interview momentarily. And I think we can put it on our page dedicated to COVID-19 information as well. Although I should probably emphasize that while I imagine that COVID-19 was the catalyst for this, I imagine you see this as a fund that can be used well down the road should another situation like this occur, right?
Yes, absolutely. So you're exactly right. COVID-19 was the catalyst for us to do this, but this is a fund that will exist for what inevitably is going to be the next crisis our region faces. This is not, you know, we talk a lot about endowment at the Community Foundation, and so this is not an endowment. This is a fund that we will use every dollar of it if we need to, but we also know that having this sort of centralized giving place is a strong statement within our community that when crisis does come, here's the place that you can go to start the giving campaigns.
All right. One more time, even though, again, we'll link to it on WGIL.com. Tell me the website and tell me how people can give should they want to do that.
Yeah, so the website is yourgcf.org. So that's the website. Or you can mail a check directly to the Community Foundation. In the memo line, just put Rapid Response Fund. And the address for the Community Foundation is 246 East Main Street in Galesburg. This is going to be working both in Knox and Warren counties, which is the service area for the Community Foundation. And,
okay,
you know, the funders are obviously concerned about both geographic counties. And so people from both counties can give because resources are going to be distributed to organizations in both counties.
All right. I guess prior to this sort of crisis and this outbreak starting, Josh, how have things otherwise been going at the Community Foundation this year?
Yeah, we've had it's been an exciting year for
us
at the Community Foundation. It feels like all of the energy of things that we had been working on now has sort of been diverted to really the response to COVID-19. But like I had said earlier, you know, this continues to be a caring and generous community. We have people on a daily basis who are coming and talking about how they can make their community a better and healthier place. We have people who want to see nonprofits supported. And so the normal work of the Community Foundation existed before COVID-19. It exists during COVID-19, and I'm confident it will flourish after COVID-19.
Josh Gibbs, CEO of the Galesburg Community Foundation, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for setting this up, and thanks, as always, for all the help that you and the foundation give to our community.
Well, on behalf of my team, the the board of directors. It's our pleasure. Thank you, Will.
And again, we'll link to the Rapid Response Fund on WGIL.com, where you can also find a whole set of resources related to COVID-19. Again, WGIL.com. And the COVID-19 banner right at the top of the page will get you anything you need to know. That'll do it for us tonight on this extended edition of Galesburg's Evening News. For Cameron Line, I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great night. Stay well and be kind to one another. We'll get to Larry Elder next on WGIL.